pseudopodians. Please make sure you listen to the very important Metacast episode that contains information on the survival of pseudopod and all of escape artists. You'll find it in your regular pseudopod feed. Thank you.
Pseudopod episode 359, November 8th, 2013. This week's story, Face Change by Jeff Hewitt. Welcome to Pseudopod, the weekly horror podcast. I'm Alistair, your host, and this week's story comes to us from Jeff Hewitt. It's Jeff's first sale of fiction anywhere, so welcome Jeff and congratulations. He's a police dispatcher in the American South, has been married for 4 years, and has written two novels, the second of which, At the End of All Magic, is available through jeffhewitt.net and Amazon. Your narrator this week is Anson Mount. For those of you who just sat up a little straighter and went, isn't that the Hell on Wheels guy? Yes! Yes, that is the Hell on Wheels guy. Anson plays Cullen Bohannon on the AMC show, and he's really bloody good at it, too. He lives in New York and teaches in the MFA acting program at Columbia University when he's not acting. He can also be seen in the upcoming movie Nonstop with Liam Neeson, whose trailer made my black little action junkie heart go pitter-patter, and in All the Boys Love Mandy Lane, which is one of the best horror movies very few people have seen over the last 15 years. He's also just about to join the John Travolta-fronted heist movie The Forger alongside Jennifer Ely. When not doing those things, and presumably when commuting to and from the set and barely sleeping, Anson's also wrapping up The Straight Dope, practical philosophy for the professional actor. We're delighted to have Jeff and Anson here, and we'd also like to thank Brandon Edgens, Anson's audio producer, for going far, far above and beyond the call of duty. Thanks, guys. It's a pleasure to have you all aboard. So, ask yourself, are you a doer or a don'ter? Choose your story. Make it true.
Face Change by Jeff Hewitt. John Leiber stared at the ceiling of Dr. Adler's office. It was the same 15 sections of ceiling tile he'd counted for 3 months. The psychiatrist's voice was a drone in the background.
That's it, Dr. Adler. This isn't working.
The psychiatrist started. Oh? What makes you say that?
It's the same bullshit I've heard before.
No offense to you, but I'm tired of behavior therapies. I don't want to be myself anymore, and self-affirmation exercises just make it worse. If I could pat myself on the back until I felt better, I'd have done it by now. That was just one. And talking about my feelings doesn't work either. I'm frustrated. I'm sick of being walked all over at work, and I'm sick at myself for allowing this to happen. I don't want therapy. I want some solutions, for once. You shrinks talk and talk, and I pay and pay. But it seems awfully like I'm letting you put your hands in my pockets, fucking bullies. John stood and paced in the little office. Dr. Adler sat back in his armchair and watched John. I'm sorry you feel that way. But these things take time.
It's been 3 months, John exclaimed.
I know that seems like a long time. But it's not long for what we're trying to do. John spun around, grabbed a chair, and sat down across from Dr. Adler. Just what are we trying to do? Make me speak up? Make my voice confident? That won't change who I am. I'm still the shit I've always been. I can't even look at myself in the mirror anymore. I'm so sick and angry of all this. Sometimes I just want to cut my face off. I hate it so much. Dr. Adler smiled. John admired the man's unflappable demeanor. Admired it. And hated it. If you think about it, this is a heck of a breakthrough. I doubt you would have told me how you were feeling this way when we first started these sessions.
Maybe. I don't know. It's time I moved on. I have to keep looking for someone until I find what I want.
John stood and held out his hand to the psychiatrist.
I'm going. Thank you for trying as hard as you could, all the same.
Dr. Adler looked at John's hand, and something flashed in his eyes.
Just a minute. Just a moment. Let me get something for you.
John watched the doctor stand up and run to his office closet. After digging for a moment, he came back with a DVD in a cardboard sleeve and a slick black case.
These go together. I've heard good things, And when I got one in the mail as a sample, I knew I had to save it for someone special. I think you're that person, John. Dr. Adler handed John the items. The solid-looking case weighed very little, surprising John. The face-changing system for success in life and business, read John aloud. He cocked an eyebrow at Adler. I know how it sounds. Most of these systems are a bunch of malarkey, but I really have heard good things from colleagues. It's not for everyone, but I think you're just the man for it. John tried to hand it back, but Adler refused. Try it out. If you don't like it, bring it back to me, or give it to a friend. Good luck, John. Thank you, Doctor. No offense, but I hope I never see you again. Dr. Adler laughed. You may yet, but not with that look on your face, I bet. John's brow furrowed in confusion, but he shook the doctor's outstretched hand and drove home. John almost left the case and DVD in his car, but decided to bring it in. He set it on the kitchen table and made himself some dinner, the same boxed meal he'd had 3 days that week. John sat in his easy chair. He lifted the remote control and stopped. He looked over his shoulder. The case on the DVD sat on his kitchen table. Somehow they loomed, like a hungry bird of prey watching a field. Fuck it. He stood and grabbed the DVD. He tried to open the case, but could see no mechanism by which to do so. He shrugged and put the DVD in. He sat back in his chair as some credits rolled. The DVD proper began. The camera was centered on a man wearing a rich-looking suit. The film was shot at a seminar. John could see dozens of people sitting in folding chairs in a darkened presentation hall. The camera flowed up to the man with the dazzling smile. His hair was slick, his tan was perfect, and his teeth straight and white. I'm Brent Ramon, and I'm going to tell you how to make the changes in your life that'll get you what you want, when you want it, how you want it. Think of that, my friends. Think of that man or woman in your life you've always wanted but could never have. Think of those raises, those promotions, those nice cars and beautiful houses you've admired for so long as you can remember. You want those? You want a nice house and a fancy car and an adoring sex slave on your arm? How about it, everybody? You want all that? The crowd cheered as the camera panned around. Even the crowd looked great to John. How does he do it? John said aloud. Probably by selling DVDs to fools like me. He picked up the remote to turn off the DVD. The camera whipped back to Brent Ramon, who pointed right into the camera. Don't turn me off. We're just getting started, right? A flash of terror wrenched John's stomach, and his hands shook. You're gonna give me 5 minutes, John, and we'll see if you still want to turn it off, yeah? I haven't even told you about the system. John swallowed hard. His forehead was slick with sweat. Knock off that trembling shit, John. You're a man. Act like it. We're talking here, right? John stuttered. Yeah? Ramon smiled. That's better. Now listen to what I've got to say. Look around at all these happy people. I bet you think I hired all these people to appear in this DVD. I bet you think I went to some bullshit modeling company and ordered up a room full of bimbos. Well, I've seen a couple of DVDs like this before, and let me stop you right there, John. You ain't never seen a DVD like this before. Unless you've talked to someone like me before. No, never. I thought not. Now, can I get a volunteer from the audience? The camera panned to show hundreds of hands high in the air. You, right there. Come up here. We're going to talk to John about Face Changer, my revolutionary system to make the difference in your life. The crowd cheered and applause roared as a beautiful woman ran up to the stage. John admired her curvy figure and winning smile. Ramon gave her a hug and a kiss on the cheek. Beautiful, baby, beautiful. What's your name?
Ashley Brent, the woman said. I'm so excited. Thanks for having me up here.
I'd be glad to have you any day.
The crowd hooted, and Ashley blushed. Ramon flashed a grin and turned to Ashley.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a partner in a major law firm in L.A.
The crowd oohed, and Ramon nodded in appreciation.
When did you make partner?
Oh, Brent, it was wonderful. It was just a week after I got your system.
The crowd cheered, and Ramon turned to face the audience.
1 week after she tried the face changer system. 1 week. I bet you can think of a place you'd like to be 1 week from now, am I right? Hawaii? Maui? London? Paris? I can think of a lot of places. I know you can, too.
Ramon looked at John. John scooted onto the edge of his seat. His heart was pounding. Visions of white sand beaches, sapphire seas, and delicious tropical liquors flashed through his mind.
What about you, John? Got a place you'd like to be?
Hell yeah. Panama City Beach.
Panama City Beach. Party City.
Ramon turned to the crowd.
Y'all like to party?
The crowd cheered. Ramon turned back to Ashley, who was clapping.
But all that stress of being a partner must take up your time. I bet you're single, yeah? No time for the boys?
Oh, no, Brent. I'm married, Ashley said.
Wow. Married? That's too bad. I bet there's more than one guy here that wants to take you to Panama City.
The men in the crowd stood and clapped and hooted.
But when did you meet your husband? Childhood friends?
We met at the law firm, Ashley said.
Ah, a client.
No, the senior partner.
Ramon aped surprise and looked at the crowd.
But you just made partner yourself.
Yep.
When did you marry the senior partner?
Ramon turned to the crowd, and they yelled together.
A week after the system!
Ramon pulled Ashley to him and kissed her cheek again.
Thank you, Ashley. You're great.
Ashley smiled, flashing teeth like diamonds, and ran back into the audience. The room thundered with applause. John stared at the screen, totally rapt.
Wow. Wow. I could use a change in my life like that.
Ramon looked through the screen at him.
You mean that, John? Because as good as face changer system is, it isn't easy. How hard did you have to work to get what you wanted?
The people in the crowd yelled out,
Hardest thing I've ever done!
It ain't easy.
Hard, hard, hard!
John slumped.
Hey now, John, sit up straight. You're a man, not a chimp. Sit up like you mean it.
John sat straight up.
Good. That's better. That's how a man sits. You want to know more about the system?
Of course I do.
You wondering if it'll work for you?
Yes. Yes. I have to wonder. Nothing has worked before.
Ramon nodded in agreement, his face grim.
Change, John. Real change is difficult. I know how hard it is. Believe me, everyone in this room knows.
The camera showed people nodding, understanding, and remembering their own struggles.
But with Face Changer, you won't believe the results. But those results can be yours. And while I say it isn't easy, it can be damn quick.
How quick, Mr. Ramon? John said.
Please, call me Brent. We're going to be friends, I can sense it. It can be done in as little as 20 minutes.
Oh, come on. How is that possible?
Ramon grinned with an impish twist of his mouth.
It's possible, my friend. Possible, doable. Anyone can do it if they want it bad enough.
Yeah, I've heard that before, John said.
Yeah, I know you have. That's why I'm going to ask a special member of our audience to come up here and tell me about it himself. Curtis, come on up.
The audience clapped. A powerful man walked onto the stage. He had the chiseled good looks of a Hollywood actor. In fact, that's exactly who he was.
Curtis Fuller?
John exclaimed.
In the flesh, John.
Ramon turned to the actor.
Curtis, how long have we known each other?
Coming up on 5 years now, Brent.
And when did you try my system?
Ramon turned to the crowd with his shining smile.
About 5 years ago!
The room sang together.
Would you say things have changed for you?
Curtis laughed.
Have things changed? I'll tell you all about it.
Ramon stood back with his arms crossed, nodding along with Curtis's story. John was nodding along, too. Curtis talked about feeling weak, how it always seemed everyone around him was more aggressive, more powerful in a conversation. He felt small next to men half his size who controlled his life, controlled his day and entire world. He talked about never having the guts to talk to the women he was interested in, could never approach one at a bar. Talked about how he always knew his friends were sniggering behind his back.
"And all that changed the day I met Brent Ramon and his face changer system. John, you want to know the results?"
"Yes. Yes. Tell me, Curtis."
Curtis's famous lopsided smile lit up the screen.
"It's in your local theater, starring me. If I could do it, you can too."
The crowd roared and cheered and surged to its feet. Ramon smiled and clapped along with everyone else. He slapped Curtis on the back.
"Now that's what I'm talking about. Take a bow, Curtis, and thanks for coming out today."
Curtis bowed and headed backstage. Ramon turned to John.
"You ready, John? You ready to be the next Hollywood star? The next high-powered executive? The next Bill Gates or Hugh Hefner or Tom Cruise?"
Yes. Tell me what to do, Brent."
Ramon snapped a finger and the case, which John had forgotten, snapped open.
"The whole of the face changer system is right in there, Johnny boy. Everyone here still has airs, isn't that right?"
The camera showed a crowd of people nodding in agreement. John leaned down and snatched the case up and into his hands. Inside was a beautiful straight razor. The blade shined like silver, with a high mirror polish, and the handle was of gorgeous, exotic wood, dark and heavy.
"Wow,"
John breathed. He lifted the razor out of the case. It came out of the velvet cradle, catching the light of the TV just so.
"I always looked up to my dad, and he shaved with one of these," said John.
Ramon smiled.
"It's a beautiful piece of equipment, make no mistake. And totally unique to this edition of Face Changer. If you look at our audience, everyone has airs, and everyone is different."
John tore his eyes away from the razor to see a field of shining razor blades held up to the camera.
"Oh, what do I do? Tell me what to do next."
"Okay, John. Next, I want you to take that case into the bathroom for me, eh?"
John carried the case into his bathroom. He could just see the TV from the doorway. He turned the volume up.
"Next, lift out the velvet cradle for your razor. You'll find two thumb holes for that."
John slid his thumbs into the velvet and lifted. He gasped when he saw what was underneath. There were faces in a neat stack. They looked like the highest quality Halloween masks he'd ever seen. And even those were cheap imitations in comparison to what John was looking at now. He lifted the top one out. It was a strong, handsome face. John ran his fingers over it, admiring the cleft chin and strong jawline.
"Fantastic, right? Pick out the face you want there."
"This is it,"
John said.
"I know.
I like a man who knows what he wants."
John pushed the case to the side of the sink.
"Oh, what next?"
"Cut your fucking face off, John. And live life like you mean it. This is Face Changer. Each of those faces was cut off some jerk who didn't deserve it, didn't earn it, hell, didn't want it enough. Cut off that punk that's taking up space on your skull and put on a face you were born to wear. Do it. Make the first cut."
John shuddered. Some voice in the back of his mind screamed at him to turn off the DVD, to throw away the razor, and burn the box so that no one could ever find out he had human faces. He'd go to jail forever. The razor quivered in his hand.
Cut off my face?
"What good has it done you to this point? First impressions are everything. We all know that. Make the best first impression of your entire life with a new face, new power. Shit, John. This isn't just a Halloween mask. It changes everything. Do it. Make the first cut, top of the forehead."
John raised the blade to his forehead. He looked at himself in the mirror, holding a razor against his skin. He pressed down, and dark blood slid around the shining blade and down his face.
with the first cut, all doubts were gone. A new voice rose inside him, dark and powerful. A voice John wanted to have ever since he could remember, and it told him,
"Cut. Cut."
He drew the blade across his forehead, sending cascades of blood down his face. As Brent urged him on, he drew the blade down the side of his face and across his throat. Blood spilled down his body, hot and stinking of copper. John seized the top of his forehead, loose and slimy, and peeled down, using the razor to strip away sinew and fat. The pain was exquisite, sending blinding flashes of light through his head, but he gritted his teeth and kept cutting away. With one last swipe of the blade, his face was gone. He looked in the mirror, his image obscured with blood in his eyes. John looked like a horror monster, a faceless creature with a skeleton's grin. A wave of nausea and weakness rose over him, and the face in the mirror began to fade.
"John, hold on there. Get that new face on before you kneel over and bleed out."
John fumbled for the face on his sink but knocked it to the floor. The world seemed to pitch and he fell with it, landing hard on the tile. The wind was knocked out of him. John tried to breathe but choked on a big mouthful of blood. He rolled onto his hands and knees, throwing up his measly dinner and even more blood. The world had a rim of black. The face lay on the floor. John grabbed it and tore the plastic off and placed his face in the empty visage. He passed out.
"John! Wake up, John!"
A voice led him back to consciousness. His eyes opened. John was laying on the floor of his bathroom. He could still smell his blood in the air. He sat up.
"There you are. Thought we might have lost you. Happens sometimes. I knew you could do it, though, tough as you fucking are."
John shook his head. He felt great. He stood and washed the blood out of his eyes in the sink. He grabbed a towel and dried off. When he opened his eyes, he was blown away. The face he wore now made him look like the next big thing, the next big movie star. He placed a tentative hand against his cheek and pulled. The face was his, all right, firm and stuck on. Nothing would take this baby off him. John ran into his living room and knelt in front of the TV.
"My new face! Oh, I feel great, Brent! Thank you! Thank you!"
"You're welcome. That's what the face changer system is all about, my friend. But let me ask you, how are you set for your new life, money-wise?"
"Oh, well, I've got a little money set aside."
"What if I told you, you could earn a cool million working for me?"
John's eyes, handsome and perfectly aligned and spaced, widened.
A million?
Ramon laughed.
"Yeah, a million. Get used to big numbers, Johnny boy. It's all coming around now. Take a seat and I'll explain."
John sat in his lounge chair.
"I told you we'd get these faces from the undeserving. You remember, right?"
"Yeah."
"That ain't easy, as you can imagine. A lot of guys don't have the stomach for wet work. Can't work a blade to save their lives. You're wearing the face of one such gentleman. Or rather, he was wearing your face. I want to pay you $1 million. And all you have to do is get me 4 new faces."
"4?
"That's the magic number. I don't offer this to everyone who completes the system. It's rather expensive, as you can imagine. It's not every day a man capable of filleting a face intact comes along. So here's my preliminary offer. I set you up in a nice house, great car, and introduce you to some of my lady friends in the audience here. And every few months, I'll send you out to retrieve a face that's on the wrong person. When you've taken 4, I'll drop that money into an account for you, and that's that."
"Ooh, what if I like it?" said John.
"Well, if you like it," said Ramon, "we'll just have to see how many faces out there are on the wrong person."
John smiled.
"I think you've just made the first deal of my new life."
The old ways aren't the best, but they are the most endearing. Oh, sure, there's a place for the theatre of it. Some people even get off on the theatre of it. You know the stuff. The witches at midnight, the cracks of thunder and lightning, the verse, the contract, the blood. But who carries a pen these days, let alone can be bothered to read the fine print? Humanity has stuff to do, places to go, foursquare locations to claim. So, the technology of damnation has to evolve. Hell has embraced the attention economy. Hell is working on apps. Think about it. It makes perfect sense. We are at the bottom of a well of signal, decades deep, constantly pushing out into space and never once escapable from the surface of the planet. It's why it always makes me smile when "you can't stop the signal" is used as a rallying cry. Firstly, because it's true. Secondly, because it may not be a good thing. Years ago, it was statistically figured out that Star Trek, in some form, is being shown on the planet all the time. These days, it wouldn't surprise me if it was CSI and NSYS. William Peterson, Lawrence Fishburne, David Caruso, and Mark Harmon bifurcated a million times over. A diffuse compound eye of dutiful men doing dutiful things whilst their staff slave away, finding justice in endless techno-backed montages. Don't get me wrong, I love that stuff. But my point is, that's fortunate because it's everywhere. It's our air, our environment, our deep, dark woods. And that makes it perfect camouflage for characters like this. For the things wearing men's faces that used to wander out of the forest and lead children away to a hillside that shouldn't open, but does, just once, for them. They're the predators of fiction and myth, the tigers burning bright, wearing sharp suits and being made fun of in Michael Bay movies. Our hunters, our icons. Don't make eye contact. Maybe they won't choose you this time. Also, I'd watch fewer infomercials if I were you. Just in case. Thanks to both Jeff and Anson for sterling work, and thanks to you for the response to our Metacast from a few weeks ago. Your generosity is truly amazing, and we'll keep you updated about our plans as they continue to be put into fruition. In the meantime, if you haven't, please consider a $2 a month subscription. That lowers the amount we need to survive month on month by $2. Maybe denies you a candy bar at worst, and gives you the warm glow of altruistic achievement. Donations are also welcome, but help once rather than over and over. Regardless, click on Feed the Pod on pseudopod.org if you can, and make your choice. Pseudopod is a production of Escape Artists Incorporated, and is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Pseudopod will return next week with Anasazi Skin by Matt Wallace. Before then, Pseudopod wants to welcome you to the new Atlantis. Because this is where you die.